Okay, so, starting a new topic, totally new topic. Nothing to do with the topics that you don't like, Donnie. Nothing. So the many of the last topim, in general, in Smicha, right, the two main mesechtos that you will be looking at when you're doing Hilchos Kashrus are Chulin, which has several prakim devoted to the topic of Kashrus, and Avodah Zarah, the end of Avodah Zarah, has many of the main sugyot of Kashrut as well. At Nachum's request, and it's a good request. It's not just because you did it. You wanted it. We're going to deal with some combination of the sugyot, Tvilat Kelim, Hechsher Kelim. I don't know which order we'll do it in yet. The logical order is really Hechsher than Tvila, but we could just do Tvila, not Hechsher, whatever you guys want, really. But before we get into the Dapim, and there are several Dapim at the end of Avodah Zarah, we need to understand where this comes from. Especially Tvila is going to be very, very odd. Because, as we'll see, there is a major machloket rishonim whether tefillah kelim is d'oraisa or not, right? Whether it even comes from the Torah or it's just rabbinic law. But to understand how that happens, right? How do we get that machloket? Where hechsher kelim comes from? Where tefillah kelim might come from the Torah or might not come from the Torah? What the connection is between those two? We need. I figure before we get to Gemara, we need to start at the beginning. Exactly. But the tefillah, it's not clear. It's the same sukkim, but it's not clear that that's what it means. And that's why I said, make sure to look at the mufarshim. So, let's do this, you know, not the way I told you, but the way Tevye correctly says we should start, which is, let's see the psukim that tell us hechsher kelim and tefillah kelim. Right? Just read them once. Then let's look at the perek as a whole and figure out context. Right, and then we'll come back to the main psukim.
Very interesting.
Yeah, well, this was like conquering from.
Oh,
like,
good.
War,
good. So that's what you need to understand. Good. So let's just read the psukim. Okay. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to read the psukim. In a vacuum, we'll try to understand the psukim briefly. Then we'll go back to the perek, and then we'll come back and read the psukim, and then we'll be in a place to start the gemaras at the beginning of next week. Okay. So the main psukim, like I said, are psukim chaf aleph, right? Perek laman aleph. Psukim Chaf Aleph. So, Vayomer Lazar Kamein Lanchei Tzava Bayim Lamelchama. Zor Chukat Torah Asher Tziva Adonai Et Moshe. Okay, this is the rule. Achet Hazahav Vera Kasef. And then Nechoshet Vera Barzal Vera Bedil Vera Ofare. Gold, silver,
copper, iron.
Good, exactly. Kol Davar Asher Yavo Vaish Taviru Vaish Vitoer. Anything that. Now translate those words.
Right,
but translate those words. Right? Asher yavo va'esh.
Anything that comes with fire?
Maybe.
Yavo
maybe.
Whatever the fire could handle. Whatever the click that doesn't get burnt.
Right, so it could be something that can handle fire or something that has come in fire.
Anything
no, just look at the psukim. Just look at the psukim. Asher yavo, right, could mean that has come in contact with fire or normally comes in contact with fire. Lamai nafkamina. Right?
If it only comes to fire contact once.
Right, meaning if it happens to come into fire once, but doesn't usually. And as we'll see, this is the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins. This is way down the road. Right? Hechsher Kalim. Right? The normal rule, as we'll see in the Gemara. What is the number one rule in Hechsher Kalim? Kibolo kach polto. As it is swallowed, it is spit out. Meaning the way that not kosher food went in is how it has to come out. But Shulchan Aruch, as we'll see, seems to paskin that it's not, right? You might have thought that, look, if once the pot had pig in it while it was roasting, right, so in fire, so then you have to kosher it with
fire,
which, according to many poskim, that is the case.
Boiling.
But depending on how you translate these words, because you could say no, if it's a pot that is almost always used with water, and then once it happened to be used roasted, so maybe it's not called Asher Yavo Ba'esh, because it came in fire, it is not. Right? And this is. Correct. And the question is, how do you kosher it? Right? Is it, do you kosher it the way it's normally used? Or do you kosher it the. No, you or do you kosher it the you know, the same. However, it became not kosher is how you.
Yeah.
Right? It's not clear, but you understand that even just reading the words, Asher Yavo could either be read as. Has come in contact with fire, or comes in contact with fire, or could come in contact with fire, right? Meaning the type of kli that's used in fire, right? Okay.
How did someone get out of the place the same way he came in?
Exactly, right? And that's the Gemara's phraseology, right? But this is where it comes from, right? Anything that normally or has come into contact with fire, comes in contact with, will go through the fire, vitaher. What's that word mean?
And will be purified.
That's a problem, right? Because what does the word taher mean? Taher can mean one of two things in Tanakh. It can either mean or simply to clean, right? Right, meaning either purify in sort of a spiritual sense, right? Meaning, what are you picking up on there? Right, Hechsher Kalim, if I asked you, what is the role of Hechsher Kalim? Is it to remove problematic things or to add holiness? What would you have said? Good. But if you read that word as vitaher and add spirituality, right?
This isn't the chronic better.
And there, taher could mean they're mean purify, or could mean, right, or the sun was taher and it disappeared, or that's the deal in the first off of Brachot. Okay. And then it says, Ach, b'mei nida yitchata. Now, in Pshat, what does that mean? What's mei nida in Tanakh, in Pshat? Purifying waters, right? Purifying waters. Right? Yitchata, it shall be purified, something like that. We call it Sherloyavo Baish Taviru Bamayim. And anything that has not gone through fire shall go through water. Now, what does that mean in Pshat? What does it mean?
If something never came in contact with fire.
Then what do you do with it?
You put it in water.
What type of water?
Holy water.
No.
Any water.
Okay. Okay, yeah, what do you do? What type of water?
It's boiling water.
Oh, so Yosef tells me it's boiling water. Really? How do you know? Where does it say boiling water?
It's one of your kasher.
It just says kasher.
Thanks. You know that from when you kasher. In the psukim,
it doesn't say anything.
It just says water. V'chibastem b'dechem b'yom ha'shvi'i utartem achar v'achar tavo al-machaneh. And then one more pasuk, which is, and then you'll wash your clothes and utahartem. What's tahartem here?
They will be
spiritual. They'll be pure.
That's spiritual.
Yeah, good. But from what? Why are your clothes dirty?
I don't think they are.
Good, and this is why when you look at these psukim and you realize this is the source for Hechsher Kalim and Tefillah Kalim, you need to say, wait a second. Okay, right? I got to understand what's going on in context, right? This is why this was the exercise I wanted to do this morning, right? Is you read these psukim, and if you didn't already know that, you know, Pesach was a few weeks ago, and we were out there boiling at our, our sinks and burning out our ovens and our stove tops, right? You would look at these psukim and say,
where did we learn that we have?
What exactly is this trying to tell me, right? And that's exactly what the Mefarshim we're going to try to figure out. Okay, but let's figure out. Okay, so where did this all come from? So, what's the story? What is the story in Perek Lamed Aleph?
Outside or?
Now, first tell me outside, then we'll.
Bnei Israel goes to fight against Midian.
Good. They go to fight against Midian. Why do they fight against Midian?
Previously, they were betrayed by them.
What?
Was Midian who they? Wasn't them who didn't give? Who gave them like? Who tried to sabotage them by giving them bread and wine? No, that was that's what we did to them. It's a different story. It's a different thing. Midian didn't let us go into the city, right?
Adam.
That was Adam. Good. What did Midian do? They sent the women to sleep with the Jewish men.
Remember? Yeah, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu says afterwards that you're not allowed to bring them because they'll bring more.
What?
Balak and Bilam.
There's Balak and Bilam, Bidyuk, because Balak was the... He was Melech Moab Beit Ahi, and who did he bring with him? Sarai, Midian. And that's the big question, is how did he get to Moab and Midian? Why is it Midian, not Moab? Good question for Tanakh. Right, it could be that he's the Melech of Midian in the land of Moab, right? It could be, right? Not totally clear what's going on, but that's the point, right? They were involved in ensnaring the Jews in sexual problems. Okay, good. So he sends out the army. He sends out 1,000 per Shevet. So quick math: how many people?
12,000. I thought Levi didn't go to.
Good. So in these contexts, we'll count Ephraim and Manasseh separately, right? So that'll get you to 12,000. So he sends them, and who is in charge of the war?
Eleazar.
Elazar HaKohen.
Pinchas ben Elazar ben HaKohen, right? Right, Pasuk Vav. Vayishlach otam Moshe elef ma'atel ha'tzava otam ben Pinchas ben Elazar HaKohen. Right?
Vayu Moshe Pasuk
Vav. He sends Pinchas. Pinchas ben Elazar.
Oh, and Elazar comes later on with Moshe in the field.
Correct. But Pinchas goes, why Pinchas?
He killed the Midian first.
Thank you! Because he was the one who started the Nekama against Midian by killing Zimri and Cosby. Right? He was the one who stemmed God's anger. Mm-hmm. Remember? That's why he gets to be a Kohen. Because he's awesome, right? We love him. Right? Torah loves him. God loves him. Right?
My father always says Bill Cosby.
Well done. Well done. Right. So he sends them out and he says, go kill them all. What do they do instead?
They only kill the men and
they only kill the males. Good. And what does Moshe say?
You should have killed the wives because they were the ones
that... Yeah, what type of backwards thing is this? We'll kill, right? We had a plague on us because they ensnared us sexually. That was the women. So you go on, you only kill the men, right? But that doesn't make any sense, right? Okay. So, that's the war. And then, in that context, what happens? So now let's go to Pasuk Yud Zayin. No, you know what? Let's go to Pasuk Tedvav. So he says, Vayomer Alehem, Hachitem Kol Nekeva. What is this, right? You let all the women live. Hein Eina, you live in Israel, B'dvar Bil'am, L'mesor Mal Ba'Adonai, Al-Dvar Pa'or, Vatiyem Magefa Ba'Adonai, but they were responsible for causing the plague. Va'ata hirgu kol zachar bataf v'chol isha yodat ish l'mikav zachar harogu. So now go kill the women too. Okay? Yes? Or at least the women who can be with men. Or of that. V'chol ataf ben hashim asher lo yadu mishkav zachar achayu lachem. The children, right? The female children, you can let live. And now, because they are going to be engaged in killing... So now, and this is where we get to our context, they introduce a halacha. What must you do once you kill someone?
Pure.
From what?
From the Tamimeh.
Good. Thank you. There wasn't a trick question. You have to purify yourself from...
Don't you mean the para?
Good. How do you... Ah, good. Very good, Nacho. So, let's turn to the beginning of Parshat. What Parshat? Chukat. Para comes to the beginning of Chukat. There's a Parshat. Good. Okay. So, if you look at Parshat Chukat, the beginning of Chukat, you get, Vayidaber Adonai Moshe ve'el Aharon le'mor. Zot Chukat ha'Torah asher tzivah Adonai le'mor. Daber al b'nei Yisrael. Bichu elecha fara aduma timima. Asher in ba mum. Asher lo ala ol. Right? Get a red, or if you ask Ephraim, it's not red. Fine, that was his article that he just sent me.
Red kelbel.
What?
Red kelbel is like a sort of red cow.
Yeah, I mean, he said it's not really red. Okay, whatever it is. Golden, something like that. Okay.
He said they found it.
Yeah, but Ephraim, yeah. You don't know Ephraim. Ephraim just wrote an article on, it's not red. It's not exactly red. It's different you. Okay. He sent me an article. It's a very good article. I'm not really making fun of it. He sent
it. Farm in Israel that's actually trying to start it again.
I know. Okay, so bring a pure, unblemished, red cow, heifer, which never had an ol, which never had a yolk. Unetatem otel Elazar kohen v'otzi otel al-mechutz l'machaneh v'shachar otel l'fanav. So then, give it to Elazar the kohen, he'll take it out of the camp, he'll shecht it, v'lakach Elazar kohen midama betzbo v'izal nochach p'nei ol-mo'ed midama sheva pamim. So then, Elazar will take from the blood on his fingers, and he'll sprinkle it by the Ol Moed, in front of the Ol Moed, 7 times. V'saravet aparel einav. Et oravet v'saravet amal pirsha yisrof. V'lokach ha-kohen etz erez ve'ezov v'shni tolad v'shlich al toch shrifat apara. And then you take the hyssop and all these different things, and you throw them into the ashes. V'chibes v'gadav ha-kohen v'achatz b'sarov b'mayim. And then the Kohen goes to the mikvah, right? And his clothes go to the mikvah. So, right, he washes his clothes, his body. And the person who burnt it is Tameh until Erev. And then what do you do? This is the pasuk we needed. And then a Tahor person takes the ashes, and what does he do? He goes to Makom Tahor and
he puts it on him.
Puts it in water, right?
What does after this need the water? Nida.
Which is called May Nida. That's what it's called.
Wait, he doesn't spray.
That's what it is.
What?
That's what it is. But that's the Nida. We're not talking about this pasha about Nida.
No, but this is what it's called. That's right. This is not Nida. Good. May Nida. Now we're getting to the problem. What is May Nida and Chumash?
Well, for this, it's purifying water.
Yes, it's the water with the Efer HaPara. That's what Mei Nida means. That's the words.
Oh, I thought it was just like a mikvah or some sort of...
Oh, but that's not what it means in Chumash, does it?
I guess not.
No, it's Mei Nida means...
The red heifer water.
The water of Para Aduma. Mei Nida.
No, I'm saying that we're not talking about Nida here.
Correct, but the word here doesn't mean a woman who's going through menstruation. It means, right... It just means...
What does it mean?
Purifying water. Right? Nida. Right? Right. The Rasag here says, Lemei Hazaa, and they put in the footnote, Tevat Nida Kibaramit. Right? In Aramaic, Nida can just mean to, like, clear out or something like that, or sprinkle. Right? But there's no other way of reading it. Right? The words Mei Nida in Chumash mean... Right, Efer Apara, that's all it means. Paraduma water. Okay, good. Now let's come back to our issue. So, the context is, we had all these people who went to war, so now they've killed people, which means they are?
Tamei
Meit. And now, therefore, what does Eliezer say? If you killed someone, what do you have to do? Vatem, not mikvah, you need paraduma. So, Vatem, chanu michutz l'machane, shivat yamim koreng nevesh kol nogea v'chalal. So anyone who killed, or anybody who touched, the halal, tidchata'u. Bayom ha-shlishi, bayom ha-shvi'i, atem u-shvi'chem. So you have to be purified on day 3 and day 7, meaning you have to... You have to go through the paraduma process, right? Day 3, day 7, sprinkle, etc. Yeah? Yes? We're good? V'chol beged, v'chol klior, v'chol ma'aseh yizid, v'chol eitz eretz, tidchata'u. As well as any clothes, vessels, right? They also can become tamimate. Okay? Now let's read the psukim again that we were at before. Chaf Aleph. So now Elazar turns to the people in the war and he says, Zot chukat ha-Torah asher tziva Adonai et Moshe. This is the law. Et ha-Zahav, et ha-Kasef, et ha-Nechoshet, et ha-Barzel, et ha-Bedil, et ha-Ofaret. Right, all these substances, metals, Kol davar asher yavo ba'esh taviru ba'esh v'toher ach b'mei nida yitchata v'chol asher lo yavo ba'esh taviru ba'mayim. Now translate for me. What does it mean?
Sorry.
Now, by the way, what does the psukim not say? The psukim say nothing about clay ochel. Right? In pshat, we have no way of knowing this is only about food substances. It's any clay
that is coming contact with fire or water.
Correct. But let's assume for a moment it is food substance, right? Clay ochel. What does... Oh, clay ochel. Plates, pots, whatever. Right? Plots. Clay ochel. What exactly does Mei Nida mean here?
Does what
mean? Mei Nida. Look back. Kol davar asher yavoru ba'esh, taviru fa'esh, v'taher. Ar b'nei minya yitchata, v'kol asher yavoru ba'esh, taviru ba'mayim. What does that mean?
What
is the don't look at the mafarshim yet. I want you to understand the problem.
Water, like...
What is Mei Nida?
Well, before it was water. The paraduma.
And what does it mean here?
Purifying water.
Just mikvah water.
No!
Water. Boiled water.
No! It means paraduma water.
It's still...
What was the previous pasuk?
It was paraduma.
Kol horeg nefesh.
Right.
V'chol nogeh bechalal titchata'u. Anybody who killed has to be purified with paraduma.
Right.
V'em pasuk chaf. V'chol beged, v'chol kli, or v'chol maseizim, v'chol kli titchato. And any kli made of leather also has to be purified with paraduma. And then what's the next pasuk? In pshat. And if you have a metal kli, you need to pass it through fire and use paraduma water.
Wait, which pasuk?
Okay, read again from Yotet.
No, I
go to Yotet. follow inside your tent.
Yeah.
Okay? Let's read the red sefer of the psukim. Vatem. Chanu michutz l'machane shivat yamim. Kol horeg nefesh. V'kol nogeh v'chal titchatau b'yom ha-shlishi v'yom ha-shvi'i atem mushvichem. Anyone who touches a dead person has to
purify himself. Right.
If you have kalim, you have any vessels, meaning any clothes, any wood vessels, or any leather vessels, they also need to go and have paraduma water.
Yes.
And then Elazar comes and says, and by the way, let's say something isn't leather, or it's not wood, instead it's what?
Metal.
If you have metals, so then, in addition, called anything that normally goes through fire, put through fire. V'toher, it'll be purified. Ach, but it needs to go through. Meaning, the simple pshan psukim is.
And it needs both fire.
It needs both koshering, let's call it, and.
You may need a...
May need a, which is?
The paraduma.
Paraduma water. Why does it need paraduma water?
Because it's tarnished.
Because you're in the middle of talking about kalim that were used, right, that touched dead people.
Right.
Right? That is the context. Right? Therefore...
Sorry, I didn't read it.
Right? However, by the way, you remember, right, you need may need a. Good. So, look, for example, at... Look at the Rashba. Okay? or the Rasag, right? Let me read you several Mepharshim who read it the way I just did, right? Rasag says, "Ach b'meinida, v'gam b'me'azah, kosher it and what's hazah? Paraduma, sprinkle the paraduma water. Rashbam, ach b'meinida, shell paraduma, l'tahara mitumat nefesh." And the fire thing is to get out
any
not kosher food. So how does the Rashbam read the Psukim?
So kind of thing is more seems like if it's not tummy mace, then it doesn't need the dipping in.
Correct. Rashbam reads the Psukim as if something is a clay ochel,
then
it needs koshering, and if it also is tummy mate,
then it needs a paraduma.
Then it needs paraduma. What is there no evidence of in these Psukim? Tefillah Kalim. There's no tefillah here. Right? Right? This has nothing to do with tefillah. Right?
We said if it's Tamei Meis,
then it's paraduma.
Oh, but that's not tefillah. Okay.
When exactly do you get tefillah Kalim done? Your,
right. Yeah.
When you buy it from a non-Jew.
Right.
Right? That has nothing to do with Tamei Meis.
Right.
Right? That's so. Who reads the psukim this way? That clay ochel, you need koshering, and if they are tmei mate, then you need paraduma. But having nothing to do with tivilat kelim, Rasajigon, Rashbam. Who else? Ibn Ezra. Look at Ibn Ezra. Ach b'mei nida yitchata haya nir'e lanu kihu me'efer apara k'mon nida lozer okalav. This means paraduma water, right? Because that's what mei nida. Always means hold off in the second line in the Rush in Ibn Ezra for a moment. Good. But this is not how Chazal read it. How did Chazal read it? Good. Right? Look at Rashi now. Rashi says, look at Chav Gimel. Anything that goes in fire to cook, so pass it through fire. Right? Kibolo kach polto, right? As it goes in, it goes out. Misha tashmisho al yedei chamin, yagilenu bechamin. Misha tashmisho al yedei tzli, munashvud vaskala, yabena vaor. So Rashi is capturing the Gemara and he makes two moves. The first move is, what is the mayim we're talking about here?
Boiling water.
Boiling water. Hot water. Right? Anything that you cook in hot water must be koshered in hot water. Is that in the psukim?
No.
Not clear, right? It says taviru ba mayim could mean mayim which is hot, similar to the h that was before it, or it could mean it could just mean water. It could just mean water.
Oh,
just water. You know, like, no, like, just water. You know, like, you clean the dishes? Water. Just water.
Not even rainwater.
No, just water. Right? We'll see that Ramban will take this, okay?
It's not even Yatsulet is for.
No, just water.
You're not going to
1 second. Why are you assuming that this is about kashering? Did the psukim say anything about kashering?
Well, the only
no, they didn't say anything. You have no idea what it's talking about. You're assuming. You're presupposing.
Yes, we're presupposing because the only thing we're talking about right now is Tony Matt that you put the.
Okay, good.
What's the other appliance for? You're
doing, we'll see in a moment.
So we just now assume it's for kashering.
Good. Okay, so, but I want you to know that this is a move. Meaning, in pshat, if something went through fire, it needs to go through fire. If something went through water, it needs to go through water. I don't know if that's cold water or if it's hot water. Right? I don't know what it's talking about. Right? In pshat. Chazal assume it's talking about a pot which had boiling water in it, which now needs to be boiled out. But that's move one. Second one is, b'meini da'it chata. Right? B'meini da'it chata, which in pshat is building on the previous psukim, which means... If it is Tamei Mate, then you need Paraduma water. But Chazal make a second move that Rashi now quotes. Ach v'meni dayit chata. He says, and he notes this. Lefi pshuto, the pshat is chitui ze letaro mitumat mate. That meni da is Paraduma water. And you need kashering to remove the not kosher food, and you need paraduma to remove tumat meit. V'rabotenu darshu mikan, but Chazal derive from this she'af lach shiran min ha'isur hit in tvila l'kli matchet, that in addition to kechsher, what do you need? Tvila. And how do they meet umeini da? Not paraduma, but Hachtuvin kan darshu mayim haruuyim litbol behem nida, water that a nida could have gone into. Kamehem arbaim sa, meaning 40 sa, which is a mikvah. Correct. Right?
Mikvah water, right?
Also, it could be a rain, it could be a natural body, a spring. What?
Main nida is mikvah water.
Oh, but it never means that anywhere else. Right? Good. Now, you look back to Ibn Ezra for a moment. He said, "V'chazal amru ki tamo b'shir ha'mayim shetichat v'mishan nida." Here he says, Chazal said that main nida here is mikvah water, the water nida goes to. V'datam rechava midatenu. Chazal are smarter than I am. Okay? Good. Now I want you to understand. In pshat, right? There's two things you could do right now, okay? One is to say, like the Ibn Ezra, or like Rashi, which is, normally meini da means paraduma water. Here it means mayim shani da tovela behem, mikvah water. And therefore, from here we learn that anything that was... And now, there's a big shift. Because here, until now, the psukim before, what was the relevant category of the process of tahara that needed to be, if something touched a dead person? Tfilat kelim, according to Chazal, what's the relevant category?
Anything
that a non-Jew once owns, right? It had nothing to do with mate, it has to do with the fact that it belonged to Midyan. So now we have two options in front of us. One is to say, like the Ibn Ezra, which is, Rechava data midatenu. They're smarter than us, and therefore... This is what it means, and therefore Tvilat Kelim is Daraisa. Meaning even though it doesn't seem to be Pshat, Chazal are smarter than we are, and if they tell us it's Pshat, it's Pshat, and therefore it is Daraisa. What's the other option?
Daraisa, it's only... Daraisa, it's only Tamei Meis.
Good! To say that, no, Daraisa really does mean if something is Tamei Meis, then you have to put it in Paraduma water. What about Tefillat Kelim? What do you do with Tefillat Kelim then?
Fire. No, it's not not needed.
Good, it's a derabanan, it's an asmachta. That this is not what the pasuk means. Chazal just hung it on the pasuk, the asmachta. Right? So who says this?
I guess in the next verse.
So let's look at the Ramban who grapples with this. Good. So look at the Ramban. Chav Gimel. Taviru ba'esh v'tahir. Ein ha'kli shenagam made up in v'nevilat nit'ar ba'esh. Ein tvilat ha'tarai l'b'mayim. He said, okay, move one of Chazal here was that, what does the first half of the pasuk talk about? No. Hechsher Kalib. And he says, why? Why does he think that's pshat?
Well, because it says anything in
fire. So where did it ever say, if you have a non-kosher substance? It just said gold and silver. Did it say that these were pots and pans?
Well, it was got from. It was all brought from Midian.
Yeah, exactly. What exactly were the kalim for in the previous pasuk?
It says these
clothes.
Were
oils of the. Excuse me. What were the kalim in the previous pasuk?
Big Adim.
So how do you know that this is even talking about pots? Maybe it's talking about chainmail. Maybe it's talking about gold earrings.
Right.
How do you know that this is about food at all?
Oh, food and drink. Okay, fine.
How do you know this has anything to do with Hechsher at all? Right? In Pshat, how do you know this is not saying that if you get a gold earring from a non-Jew, that you need to first put it through fire and then Efer Hapara? How exactly do you know this has anything to do with food? Okay, good. So what does he say? So Ramban says, I'm willing to accept that Chazal or Pshat here. Why? Because what exactly, if it's not talking about something new, meaning if this is talking about clothing, then where did we ever get this notion that you put something through fire to kosher, right, to take out? So therefore, what must it mean? It must be a different category. And therefore, what does he say? Chazal said, oh, if something is a food, clay ochel, right? So in addition to tumat meat, it also needs... Hechsher.
Oh.
You need to remove the non-kosher food. And therefore the Ramban says, Hechsher Kalim is pshat. Right? Even though it's ambiguous. I want you to see what he's doing. He's saying, look, when you read Pasuk Chavet, gold, silver, all that, you've got to put through fire. Do you know that it has anything to do with food utensils? You have no idea. Elamai. Chazal are right, even on the level of pshat. Why? Because what else does this mean? Right? What else are we talking about? What else goes through fire like that? Right?
Just kalim.
Wait, we're not talking about earrings, right? Like, what is this? Right? You could have come up with a chiddush, right? No, you forge chainmail in fire, right? And therefore, to take the tumat made, it needs to go back through the fire. Chainmail, you know, like the old suit mails, you know, the steel, like, vest mail.
Oh, okay.
Armor.
Yes.
Chainmail.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Whatever. Okay, it doesn't matter.
I know, I was just very curious.
Armor. Okay, armor, better?
Yeah.
Better, okay. A sword. Okay, you could have said the sword first goes through fire. But the Ramban is saying, no. In pshat, I'm willing to say that the issue here is Hechsher Kalim. Right? That what the psukim are adding here over the previous psukim is that if it's clay ochel, then first you need to remove the non-kosher substance from it by putting it through fire. Okay? But then the Ramban says, V'kol asher lo yavo ba'esh, kol davar she'en tashmish al-yidei ha'or, kegon kosot, z'lechot gitonot shishmim etzonein, v'lo blaz d'r'sir taviru b'mayim. Matvilan vidayo. Lashon Rashi. So he says, wait a second, what did Rashi say? Right? What is the Mayim here? This is not boiling water at all. What is it?
Rashi says the part.
Wait, what does he say? This is mikvah water. It's anything which... Right? Remember, there are two things it could have been. This doesn't have to teach you that you use boiling water. It could mean if you have a cup which only used cold... So then, what do you need to do with it?
Mikvah kelim.
Just put in the mikvah, because...
Mikvah kelim.
Yeah, and a mikvah kelim. A mikvah kelim just happens to be used, but just a mikvah.
Where do they learn out
One second.
You put the kelim in the mikvah, then you...
You can put it in any mikvah.
You
can put it in a regular mikvah. Trust me, there are women who, when they go to the mikvah, take the spoon that they forgot to tell them, they take it in the mikvah.
But it's disgusting.
So you wash it afterwards, big deal. That's a big deal. Okay, go on, you wash it. You've never had a cup fall into a pool and then you pick it up and clean it off? No, big deal. Right? So So what does Rashi say? Does it, in Pshat, does this have anything to do with Haggalah? No, what is it? It might have to do with Libun, meaning if you have a spit that you put into the fire, you have to burn it off. But if you have... But what could Kol Asher Yavo B'mayim Tavir B'mayim mean? That if anything, if it's a spoon and it's used in cold, or it's a cup and it's used in cold, so what do? You just put it in the mikvah, right? Meaning the mikvah and not in fire. The Ramban says, I don't like that. He said, I don't like it. Why? Because the word lahavir has nothing to do with tvila. It should have said taviu b'mayim, which is the normal language for tvila. Correct. And he says, besides, even a spoon or a cup, it needs cleaning it. He says, so he said, Chazal darshan tvila from this pasuk. He said, pshat is of tavir b'mayim? If you have a dirty kli, right, you have a cup. It never used hot food. It just used treif. It used not kosher beer. Okay? So what do you have to do to kosher it? Scrub it. No, scrub it.
Scrub it.
Not with hot water. Scrub. Why? Because you got to get off
the beer.
Yeah, that's it.
I don't get where we're going. What about just asking when you're koshering something for Pesach, say a mug, you just have cold milk in, but you dip cookies in it, do you have to, you scrub it and you'll be okay?
Make it in if it's just, if it's only ever been used for cold, of course.
Yeah. I'll have to just clean it with a sponge or something.
Correct. Correct. If it's never been used for hot, yeah.
I found it on the street and cleaned it.
So then, no, because it might have been used for hot.
I wouldn't use the cup. I just wouldn't use the mug.
I would never use it. I would throw it out. But okay, that's disgusting.
This guy put a box outside with mugs in it. Everyone took one.
Okay, so now I. Okay, then in the middle he brings up all the hechsher. But then if you skip down, he says, "I'll read you the key words." He says, "Velibi meharher od lomar," and my heart is hesitant. To say what? Shereibul Maharher is, I'm not sure. I'm thinking about this. Shetfila hazo mi divrehem. The tfila kelim is only? Dirabanan. Vamikra smachta asuoto. No. Mi divrehem means dirabanan.
Okay.
Midivrei Sofrim might not.
Oh, okay, fine.
Right, in the Rambam, Midivrei Sofrim sometimes means Doraisa. Right, he's explicit about that in the 17th paragraph of Kalim.
Divrehem
is Midivrehem, Dirabanan. Vamikra smachta suoto. And he says, who else seems to hold this? Unkelis. Because look at Unkelis. Unkelis says, remember, Unkelis is the Babylonian Targum, meaning the Targum in Babel, where the Gemara is. And how does he translate it? Not as go to the mikvah, but. Bimeyada yuta yitade, which means
clean.
Right? So look at continuing the Ramban, he says, it's hazah, right? Meaning sprinkle it. Vizad Sarach Talmud. So here is where I will leave you, right? Is that in Pshat. Okay? You look at the Psukim at Hechsher Kalim Tvila Kalim, and what do you learn? It's very unclear, right? At Pshat, it's very hard to figure anything out, right? Mm-hmm. The Rishonim, in general, assume that what is, even though it's hard, it's ambiguous, they end up saying, but you know what this does mean? This means Hechsher Kalim, right? That they're willing to accept, at least for each, right? The Mayim one, this swallows up a lot of things. Hagala, right? scrubbing things down that were used for cold, right? You see the Rishonim are a bit more ambiguous about what exactly the Mayim one is talking about biblically, mm-hmm. right? But Bigadol Hechsher Kelim, the Rishonim assume, is Oraisa. But the Pshat of B'mei Nidayit Chata is... is... what's the Pshat? What does it mean? To... that if something's tummy mate, then...
it needs to be...
he needs to go into Paraduma.
What do we learn out mikvah water?
Chazal then saying, no, mei nida here doesn't mean efer apara, it means mayim shanida tovelet bahem, water that a nida would go into, meaning a mikvah, from which we learn that anything which belonged to a non-Jew needs tefilat kelim. Now, you have two options in front of you, right? One is to say that despite the fact that this is not easy to get in pshat, it, Chazal are right, and therefore this is D'oraisa. Or you can go in the direction of the Ramban, which is, no, this is so not pshat that it must be that it's not pshat, it's the Rabbanan. So in Tefillah, this is going to be question number one, which is it D'oraisa D'Rabbanan? Now you see where it comes from. Question two, again, let me just give you the questions this leads us to, is even if it means tefillat kelim, d'oraisa, or d'rabbanan, it doesn't matter, why would you use the language of paraduma? Because ostensibly, the tahara of tefila and tahara of tumas meis are different. Or are they? Meaning,
well,
what?
Shot it doesn't sound
correct, but even but once we get to it, right? Once we've accepted tefillat kelim, d'oraisa, or d'rabbanan, is it in any way conceptually linked to the context of the psukim? And what about Hechsher Kalim? Right? Is Hechsher Kalim a parenthetical halacha? Meaning, everything in this halacha, this parak is about tahara. But in addition to tahara, there's a separate halacha, which is that if something has non-kosher food in it, you got to machsher it. But that is no, that's not tefillat kelim maybe, and tumas meis is adding kedusha, adding tahara. Hechsher kelim, the way, how do you think about it? Is it adding a spiritual value to it? It's removing a problem, right? What's the issue with the context?
Where do we learn?
Is that everything else in the parak is about adding tahara, right? It's about purifying, not removing problems. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is removing spiritual problems, right, metaphysical problems, not physical problems, right?
Well, it kind of seems like it's both. Like that's why you put it through fire, and then.
This is gonna be the question: is Hechsher Kalim? Is it that the whole parak is about tahara, and then there's a parenthetical comment? By the way, if something's not kosher, you need to kosher it. Mm-hmm. But koshering has nothing to do with tahara and tumah. It's just a different halacha that happens to do with kelim.
Right.
Or does the fact that Hechsher Kelim is found in the context of a lot of halacha about tahara tell you that when you kosher your kli, you're not just removing a problem, but you are
adding
kedusha in some way? And we'll see that that's actually the way certain poskim took it with very important nafkaminas, right? What? I'll give you one, right? Can know for the end goal.
If you just remove the,
I'll give you a modern example that emerges from this. Okay, it's something from Malamud published recently. Do you need Hechsher Kelim on Kelim that are physically incapable of absorbing not kosher taste, like stainless steel? Oh, it's right. It goes through Aish, goes through Mayim, but there isn't really any bleout. Nothing is absorbed. Could you possibly need Hechsher Kelim?
Oh, if you buy it from them.
Yeah. Right, you need tvila, but you need hechsher.
Klicheres.
Well, so klicheres absorbs, right? But this is the opposite; it doesn't absorb. Stainless steel doesn't absorb anything.
Right.
So, do you need a kasherit? Right. Yeah, a spit. You have a stainless steel spit. It didn't absorb anything.
Right.
Do you have to kasher it?
Yeah.
So the majority psak would be yes. But what if I could prove that there are no bleo?
Still.
But wait a second, you just said that Hechsher Kelim is only about removing a problem. There are no problems, no bleout.
Right, but according to the Pesukim, it doesn't matter.
Oh, so then there's two ways of saying that. One is to say that what? Even though science says that there's no bleout, halachically there are bleout, which is the way 90% of Pesukim will take it.
Sounds about right.
Or You have three possibilities. One is to say, you're right. Nothing gets absorbed, and therefore, you don't need to kosher it. Right? The Torah says you have to kosher it. It's talking about metals that do absorb. That's possibility one. Possibility two is it halachic bliyot, metaphysical bliyot. And you need to remove the metaphysical bliyot. Right? Which is that right? Jachter once quoted Rabbi Bleich. I'm the Rabbi Bleich, the noise ever saying this. Right? And the third possibility is maybe the fact that Hechsher Kalim is in the parsha of Tvilat Kalim and Tvilat from a mace proves that it's not just about removing problems, but there's an element of Tara, and that's why it's in this parak to begin with. Right?
Also, the Pesukim says steel.
Well, that's another question, right? That's a fourth question, really, which is are these halachot limited to the metals listed in the Pesukim or all metals? That's a big machlok in the Pesukim. Well, clay is a different problem, we'll see.
I don't think clay doesn't require.
But what about other metals? Right, this is a big shaila. Now, okay, so that's the end of the exercise for today. The reason I wanted to do this, again, is you realize that even just reading the psukim, and even without even going to Gemara, seeing what it is...
Questions.
Correct, but you see how they emerge fundamentally, as I've always tried to drill into your head this year, is that before you get to the Gemara, you got to remember that the Gemara itself is... Psukim. Building up psukim, and if you want to understand the problems that emerge in the Gemara and the Mefarshim and the Poskim, you need to look at the psukim and realize what are they grappling with. What is the basic test? The text. These are the basic psukim that we're dealing with, and as you see, they're very ambiguous, which is why the halachot of Hechsher Kalim Tvilat Kalim and exactly when they apply are quite complicated to apply. Next week we will start the Gemara inside, but hopefully now you'll understand where they are coming from.